not leave us comfortless, but you left another, the Allos, the Holy Spirit, one identical to you, Jesus, to lead us into all truth. And we give you everlasting praise, Father. We give you everlasting praise. Everlasting praise we give you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me say it real quietly. Amen. Give you praise, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Wow, where's everybody at tonight? It's been years since we had a crowd this small. You know what I've learned, though? I've preached to 400 kids before. Quit laughing, Alex. I've preached to 500 kids. I've preached to 150. We average about 40 or 50 kids here on Sunday night. I can preach to 20. It's the same Holy Ghost, the same excitement that lives inside of us. He's in my heart today. Hallelujah. We had a real good time last week. I got some good reports about John chapter 8, about the woman who was caught in adultery. What scripture determined on what Christ wrote on the ground when they approached him, but that's neither here nor there tonight. I've said this, I'm not, and we have, like I said, I've done a conference in Texas where I preached to 400 or 500 kids. I've loaded out. But I believe more than ever that, and numbers really, I mean, they don't, for the last 3 or 4 years, they don't move me. The Muslims have a church growing more than anybody in the world, and that doesn't mean they're growing. I mean, that doesn't mean they're growing spiritually. I do believe that by the time it's all said and done, this is a different type of ministry here. Different according to today's standards. It's not different according to this. This is, you know, Jesus said, the disciples of John came to Jesus and said, "Are you the one to come, or do we look for another?" Now let's compare Jesus' answer, his response to the disciples of John. He looked at them eyeball to eyeball and said, "Well, you tell John that the deaf hear. Tell him that the blind see." Listen to this now. The disciples of John went to Jesus and said, "John's in prison. I come on behalf of John, approaching you, Mr. Jesus. John wants to know, are you the one to come? Or do we await for another? Are you the one? You tell John that the dead hear, that the blind see." Listen to this. "That the dead are raised, and that the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is the man that is not offended in me." We're different. Not better than anybody, but we're different. We're called. You can't have a revival unless you walk in love first. Revival is a fruit of love. Everybody claims revival, but you got to purge yourself. Purge yourself of what? Purge yourself of you. Purge myself of me. I am my worst nightmare. My soul. Proverbs calls it the immoral woman. Women have got the blame for that one for a long time. They've called a physical woman the immoral woman. No, friends, the immoral woman, according to Scripture, is our flesh. So the mission here really is, we're not doing nothing new. I hear somebody, people put on Facebook a lot, "God's doing a new thing." No, friend. God's not bipolar. It's always been His desire since the birth of Jesus Christ, through the 12 apostles, through the disciples, through the 72, for me and you to live out a revival. That's always been. The church has changed. The church has changed. The church has gotten too liberal because they've gotten away from the 66 books that are holy and undefiled. And I do believe that if I can have 10 young people that would just die daily to the things of this world and take up their cross daily See, it's his desire that we go out on the streets with power. Not just word, but with power. See, notice what Jesus told the disciples of John. See, I didn't even know I was going to say this, and I'm just sort of prophesying the mind of Christ to you. He said, are you the one that's to come, or do we look for another? Tell them the dead are raised, the dead hear, the blind see, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, the modern day church, me included, we fulfill the last part of that verse. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's fine. And that's commendable. And we're called, me and you, to minister the gospel. But we've gotten so content, or we think that the last part is the only part that we're called to do. No. He said the deaf hear, the blind see, the deaf are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So we're not only contending for those to get born again, we're contending to see homosexuals delivered. We're continuing to see arms grow out. We're continuing to see people with AIDS recovered in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we're after. See, it's easy to tell somebody, Jesus is Lord. That's real easy and good and commendable. And we must do it. But there's three or four other pieces of instruction before that. The deaf are raised, the blind see, the dead hear, maimed or made whole. See, we've forgotten about that in the modern day church. We forgot about it. Because that type of ministry takes a man or woman of God, a lifestyle of Jesus Christ, to reach that status. But it's easy to tell, hey, Renee, let me tell you about Jesus. I heard a guy say one time, though. Heard a guy say, when they were praying over a person that had AIDS, big time youth pastor, big time, according to the modern day church. Person had AIDS, McKenzie. He called into his hotline. Well, Mr. This guy's great. He's a great speaker. He got a PhD, a bishop. I don't know what he is, but he's very smart. God forgive him. Anyway, this person called in and said, well, I had AIDS. And I know that I'm going to die. He says to the young person on the radio, yes, you have AIDS, and yes, you're going to die. I wept. But that's what the modern day church has become. Now, he did say, do you know Jesus? The person said, yes, I know Jesus. But if my Jesus was here and he was on the other end of that phone, and that person called my Jesus and said, Jesus, I have AIDS, he would have gone through Florida and Alabama, Mississippi, North Dakota in a minute second, going through the walls of where that person was. He looked at him with his eyes of fire. And I say to you, be made whole. That person would be made whole. That person would have been made whole. And that would have been the drawing card for that person to be born again. But see, that takes believing that Jesus can do it. That takes more than what the modern day Christian wants to give Jesus. That's what we're after. Our forefathers died. Andrew crucified, upside down, preaching the gospel for 3 days and a cross, upside down. He was preaching as he was dying, being crucified. Our forefathers died because they believed the gospel. The modern day church has a hard time even establishing itself in the faith. They died because of their conviction. They could have been at any moment say, no, Jesus Christ is not the Christ, and been set free. But they were so madly in love with this one man named Jesus Christ that it was an honor for them to die the death that they did to glorify this man named Jesus Christ. John dipped in hot tar. He didn't burn. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cast me in a burning fire. Go ahead. My God will deliver me. And by the way, if he doesn't, know today that I will never bow. Bartholomew, delayed a life. Why? Because he had a conviction and a belief in his heart that Jesus Christ was worth dying for. Delayed a life and never gave up his confession that Jesus Christ was Lord. That's what we're after here, young people. I'm not an educated person. I don't know very much. I graduated with 17 S my senior year. But I'm stubborn enough to know that I have the greatest teacher on the face of this world. And I got a book, according to Psalm 18, that's holy and undefiled, pure than the purest of gold. I'm called to get rid of myself. My number one enemy in my life is me. I'm the only person that can stop me. My emotions are the only things in the world that can stop me. I'm not going to give Satan. He gets way too much credit. He's a toothless wonder. He's like a chihuahua. Just kick the chihuahua. He'll come back, but kick him again. He's a toothless wonder. But he gets so much credit for... No. We are our worst enemy. We are our worst enemy. We are. Nobody can stop you but you. Nobody. That's what we're after here. Young men and young women that come to the conclusion that they have no rights in their life. And not everybody. How does a young man like Alex and Renee, we're about to have one come back from Louisiana. Carl, he's going to graduate. He's going to come back. And he says, we're going to just tear this town upside down. A young man like Renee could have gone to college. There's nothing wrong with college. God, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm... But a revivalist, a person that's contending for an outpouring, their life means nothing to them. All they want to do is spend time with Jesus. That's what we're about here. I said years ago, there's got to be more than what I know. And there is more. It's called a life of surrender to this one man named Jesus Christ. But we must learn to overcome the number one obstacle in our life, Mackenzie. That is to overcome ourselves and our selfish ambition. We must learn to overcome the immoral woman. Who's the immoral woman? Our flesh. Somebody wanted to argue with them and say the immoral woman is a physical woman. Proverbs says that the immoral woman, her mouth is sweeter than her words are sweeter than honey. Her words are sharper than a two-edged sword. The person said, the immoral woman is a physical woman. She's also called a harlot and an adulterer in the book of Proverbs. So you mean to tell me, Mr. Know-it-all, Mr. PhD, that the immoral woman in Proverbs is talking about a physical woman? Yep, absolutely. Okay, so this is what we do, sir. We get a gun. We go kill every single beautiful woman on the face of this earth, and our problems will cease. Correct, sir? No, that's murder. No, but you said that the women was a problem. So you mean God's going to call a woman a whore and an adulterer and let the man live free? I thought a woman committed adultery with a man. That immoral woman, according to Proverbs, is nothing more in our flesh, the part of me and you that does not want to be subservient to this man named Jesus Christ. She is our greatest opposition. Our flesh is our greatest opposition. Listen to this real quick. Proverbs 3, I'm going to have to correct myself here a little bit. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm hungry. Just playing. I'm going to read this to you real quick. I'm not going to keep you long. Proverbs 3, I preached this before, but I preached it a little wrong. Little wrong. Proverbs 3, and I've heard it preached. Pastor, how do you know that you're right? Well, it certainly isn't because I'm smart. But how I've been taught by one of the greatest men that I know. And I don't preach nothing to you that I haven't first gone over. If I'm going to preach the book of Philippians to you, I'm going to read that book 50, 60, 70, 80 times. And pray in tongues for hours. Getting the mysteries that are hidden in that book. Because there's 20,000 different churches and 20,000 different beliefs. And everybody calls the Holy Ghost their teacher. Well, either he's an idiot or the church has it wrong. I choose to believe that the church has it wrong. So I've read Proverbs 3, chapter 3, or chapters 1 through 7 maybe. 400 or 500 times over. You don't have to do it like that. That's just the way I do it. Listen to this now. I'm not going to keep you long. Proverbs, this is how I preached this before. Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now, you got to really have to listen to get this. I'm not going to keep you long, I promise. Before the days of Jesus Christ, Old Testament, they had the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. That's all they had. And maybe the book of Job. They had to put those first five books, listen to me, inside of them to have any chance of obeying the law of God. If they didn't deposit those first five books in them, they wouldn't have had a clue and would have failed in their walk and their belief in Yahweh, the Hebrew God. So God said, you have the first five books. You have the Ten Commandments. Learn them. Put them in you. What part of their body did they store the Ten Commandments in? Their what? Their heart. Listen, okay, listen carefully now. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. He said, Jews of old before Jesus, I give you five books. I'm asking you to store these five books, the law, inside of your heart. For one reason. Store it in your heart. If you store it in your heart, then you'll do according to what's in your heart. He said, and if you store them in your heart and you keep what's in your heart, long life and good days will be given to you because my law will be deposited in your heart. That's the shadow. That's why there's problems in the church. People know the difference between the old and the new. Listen to me. He said, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Right there I would preach over and over again. You must deposit God's word in you if you're going to make it. And that's true. But the writers are writing to Old Testament Jews. He's saying, put my law in your heart. Put a synthetic conscience, an artificial conscience in your heart. For length of days and long life, they will add to thee. He said, let not mercy, this is mercy and truth. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind it around your neck. Write it upon the tablet of your hearts. Put it in you. The only hope you got as an Old Testament Jew is to put the law of God inside of you. Now, I would preach, you got to put Philippians in you. You got to put Romans in you if you're going to make it. You're not going to make it. You got to store the New Testament in your heart. Put it in there if you're going to make it. If you want to stop doing, if you want to stop smoking, if you want to stop drinking, if you want to stop cussing, if you want to stop fornicating, if you want to stop adultery, put God's word in your heart or you're not going to make it. And I still believe that, but I was off. What do you mean? I was off. Proverbs 3 was written to an unregenerate person. A person that was not born again. they had no hope of obeying the law of God unless the law of God was deposited inside of their what? Heart. He said, if you keep it in your heart, you walk according to what's in your heart, you'll be guaranteed long life, long days. You'll be guaranteed prosperity. Listen to me. I'm going to get to the point I'm going to make. He said, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. He was legalistic about it. Put it inside of you. Put God's word inside of you. Put it inside of you. Put it inside of you. Put it inside of you. Okay. And I told you the same thing. Only one problem. We are a New Testament church. What are you trying to say? 21 years ago, 23 years ago, I got born again. I was addicted to pornography. I was a drunk. I smoked crack. I snorted coke. The day before I got born again, I was playing Russian roulette. I had a big old pile of cocaine on the table. I had so much cocaine in my system, it could have killed a horse. We got so strung out on cocaine that we played a game of Russian roulette. I took out a big 357 Magnum. We were all torn up. I should have been dead that night. I told my wife, I said, we're out of beer, baby. Go buy me some more beer. And she was mad at me because she hated when I snorted cocaine. She hated it. So buy me a case of beer. And she went to the store and we were playing with a gun. My first friend went. He put a bullet in the barrel of McKenzie and spun it. Didn't go off. And we all started laughing. You lucky sucker. My second friend went. The bullet was in there, spun the barrel, and they went on, put it to his head, and didn't go off. He did good. We all laughing. Another bump, you know. Cut it up real good. My turn. My turn, McKenzie. I was a chicken. I ain't gonna lie. Put the bullet in there, Deidre, spun the gun. Get some more confidence, you know? Get more confidence. Oh, heck, just one more time. Got the gun, McKenzie. Boom! It went off. Shaved off all the hair in back of my head. All of it. Shattered my screen window. My door. Sliding door. Shattered it. Completely. My wife gets home. By that time I was sober. All that cocaine went out of my system. I was so scared. My wife come home and said, yeah, all that cocaine went out of my system, McKenzie. All of it. Every single bit of it was gone. My wife came home. Seeing the window shattered. I had no hair in back of my head with a bullet. Just my wife said, and my little daughter was there. And the next day after that, I got saved. She had the case of beer in hand. My wife said to me, what was I supposed to tell your daughter? That those were her daddy's brains on the floor. At that moment, a conviction hit me. The next night, I read the book of Revelation. I got so scared, I got saved. But I gave my life to the Lord at 5 o'clock in the morning after that day. Right there in my house. I hated my wife. She hated me. I think I hated her more. We slept in different rooms. I got saved. At 5 o'clock in the morning, I asked this man named Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And I woke her up. Hey, I got saved. Good. Shut up and go to sleep. Get out of my room. I got out of the room. About a week later, she got saved too. But this is the part that I'm getting at. I woke up that day. I got saved at 5 o'clock in the morning. Went back to sleep. I cried for 3 days. I've never been so happy in my life. But I got up that day. I was born again. I was born of God. But I got up that day without a teacher, without reading the Bible, without worship, without anything. I got up that day, and something in me told me that those Rated X tapes, they had to go. Something in me told me that music in my car, it had to go. Something in me at that very moment told me that the alcohol, that the cocaine, it had to go. But wait a minute, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know the book of Philippians. I didn't know the book. I didn't know none of it. What was it in me that caused me to know that this stuff was no good for me anymore? Well, the Old Testament saint, he had to write God's word in his heart by reading it over and over again. But I knew that moment that that stuff had to go. I didn't have the word in me, or so it seemed. I didn't have the book of Romans that said that sin shall not have dominion over you. I didn't know about the rebirth. I didn't know that I was a child of God. I only knew one thing, that something in me was crying out that pornography was no longer acceptable. Something in me cried out that I knew that I couldn't hear that certain music anymore. Something cried out within my heart that said I couldn't get my four-year-old daughter drunk anymore. I would preach that you gotta put God's word in you if you're gonna make it. Gotta put, and we do, my friends, and we do. That's not what I'm saying. But we're not under the Old Testament guidelines anymore. They had to put the Ten Commandments in them physically to keep them stored in their heart. But the very moment that I got born again, my DNA changed. I went from a son of hell to a son of God, from unrighteousness to righteousness, from darkness to light. Immediately, in a microsecond, Jesus came through the Holy Spirit and lived inside of me. And the Word of God, the Logos, came and lived inside of me. Not the written Word. My mind was not transformed into the image of God, but my spirit was renewed. I knew right there and then without this, Alex, I didn't have Romans in me. I didn't have it in me. But what did I have? I had the Logos. I had the Word of God, the instruction that said yes or said no. I knew right there and then right from wrong. Because Jesus Christ had come and lived inside of me. Without the Word, with the Word, and without the Word. That's how powerful it is the day you give your life to Jesus Christ. That's how powerful the rebirth is. That's how powerful the born-again spirit is. That without knowing the Word, that I was set free from sin's power. I didn't read Romans 50 times when I got born again. I just said yes to Jesus in a matter of 6 seconds. At that very moment, I was born again. My first birth came from my mother. My second birth came from Jesus Christ. My DNA changed. I went from a son of unrighteousness to a son of righteousness. The convicting power of God now indwelt me, indwelt my heart, and indwelt my spirit. And I knew immediately right from wrong, without praying in tongues, without worship, without fasting, without reading my Bible. Sin's power was broken in my life. Immediately the day that I got born again, I was born again. The Spirit of my Father now dwells in me, and I can walk the earth. I never have to fornicate again. I never have to commit adultery again. I never have to get drunk again. I never have to cuss again. I never have to cop attitude again. Why? Because I have been set free by the power and DNA of Jesus Christ. Without a renewing of my mind. So now I get born again, and we know we got to read the Bible. But the devil plays the biggest trick on us. If we don't read for 1 or 2 weeks, we feel within ourselves that what? That we're going to what? We're going to fall. We're going to sin. We're going to act differently. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. If you're born again, my friend, the power of God, the conviction that God lives in your spirit that tells you yes, and it tells you no. He's in you, instructing you as your Father. You can't watch that, Alex. It's not going to be a loud physical voice. You'll just know within you. When men, we're going to pick on each other. When we see a beautiful young lady, that's the way I preach. I'm sorry. That's just the way I preach. Now, oh, ladies, you little flirt buckets too now. You take peaks too now. The guys like me and DJ with the abs. So guys, we walk by a beautiful young lady. You know, sometimes some next day turn for 7 or 8 seconds, sometimes for a minute, sometimes the whole afternoon, sometimes it just, oh, I should have done it, I should have said it. It wasn't a physical voice that you heard, but something inside of you said, don't what? Don't look. You were faced with two decisions, to look or not to look. The person that told you not to look was the DNA of your father inside of you that taught you this was wrong. Listen to this real quick, and I'm almost done. I know some of you are tired. You've had a long weekend. Listen to this. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs again, 3. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. If we're born again, we know right from wrong. Come from within us on how to live right. Then He says, don't be wise in your own eyes. In context, beautiful lady walks by, or the good-looking man walks by. Something already, before that young lady comes, is already telling you, no. You know it's wrong because you're born again. It says no. Now when I'm wise in my own eyes, is when I know that it's wrong, and I know that it's wrong to look, and I look anyway, I've qualified myself to be wise in my own eyes. Because I knew the instruction of a holy God, yet I disannulled it and I kicked it to the curb. And I said, Lord, what I want to do is head over heels over what you want me to do. So He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. As New Testament Christians, we trust Him from our heart because that's where His instruction lives in me and you now, without even renewing our mind with the Word of God. So what's the problem then? We know what's right. Because you're born again. You got a godly conscience living inside. Then what's the problem? Pastor Omar, I know to do right, but I find myself struggling, wanting to do wrong. What's the problem? Emotions. Emotions. Emotions are powerful. They seem so real. One of my mentors said that the hardest battle in the world to overcome is an emotional battle, because they seem to badger you, and it's consistent, and it doesn't let up. Do you think Jesus, and I'm almost done, do you think Jesus felt the comfort and the goosebumps of the Holy Spirit as He stayed nailed to the cross? You think He felt the Holy Ghost? You think He was yelling, glory? Ha! Or do you think He felt the physical pain that a man would feel from being crucified? You don't think emotions came at Jesus Christ to badger His mind? Emotions are terrible. This is the way emotions work. We say to ourselves, well, if they don't call me, I ain't going to call them. How am I the light of this earth? Where's the difference at? They don't talk to me, so I ain't going to talk to them. Only one problem with that statement, my friends. Inside of our spirit lies the instruction of Jesus Christ. And He's telling me, pick up. If I want to be wise in my own eyes, I'll kick to the curb the instruction that I know is right. Won't talk to me. That's why society will not give their lives to the Jesus Christ that we preach, because we're called to be different. and the modern day church is not. We're called to be the salt of this earth, the city that is set on a hill, the light that is put on a bushel, not under a lampstand. On a lampstand, not on a bushel. We're called to be different. But we give way to emotion, to the immoral woman. I love what Pastor Bronk said this morning. You know why most people don't worship during praise and worship? Because they give in to an emotion. You know why most people don't come to church? Because they give in to an emotion. You know why young men and women give themselves over before marriage to another young man or woman? Because they give in to an emotion. Even born again people, more than any, give in to emotion. So what do? Believe it or not, even if you go 3 years without reading the Bible, don't ever take it to that extreme, God. Don't go a day without reading your Bible. Even in those 3 years of you not reading the Bible, something inside of you still cried out to live right and holy before God. That is your born-again spirit. You still had the power, even through that badgering hell of emotion that came to your mind, you still had the power to say yes to the right thing and kick that ugly feeling, that ugly emotion to the curb. Nobody here has ever been crucified. Nobody here has ever been filleted alive. Nobody here has ever been dipped in hot tar. Nobody in here has ever had their spouse raped in front of them. Nobody in here has ever seen their kids sawed in half like our forefathers. Don't think their emotions didn't come crying, but they obeyed something much more than a powerful emotion. They obeyed the inner witness. They had such a love and compassion for this one man named Jesus Christ that their emotions, they kept them in check. And they kept the operation of the emotion underneath the operation of the Spirit. That's why dying for the cause didn't move them. It was an honor it was an honor for them to be beaten in the book of Acts according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was an honor to them because they did not live their life based on emotion, based on feeling, like the majority of the church does now. If you've been born again, His word, His conviction lives inside of your heart. And it lives there. And it comes out of our spirit to teach me and you the love of God. If God is love on the outside before we're born again, when we're born again and God is love, then God as love lives. See, God doesn't walk in love. God is love. And if God indwells me, that means love indwells me. So every piece of instruction that comes out of my spirit is what? Love. I heard a song said today, and I don't agree with it at all. They said, the devil hates a worshiper. Oh, really? Only one problem with that. You can't find that in Scripture. It's got a partial truth to it. You know what drives the devil crazy? A Christian that walks in obedience. Because I've seen a lot of people's song jump and scream and then take somebody's wife. I've seen a lot of emotion before. Oh, hallelujah. I've seen somebody take somebody's wife that jumped the highest. He said, the devil hates a worshiper. Oh, yeah, what? What chapter and verse is that in? Now, there's a partial truth to that. But what Satan hates is a believer that lives according to the inward witness. That's what Satan hates the most, is a believer that walks with integrity. Those are hard words to swallow. We don't have a sin nature, friend. We're not sinners saved by grace. If I think I'm a sinner saved by grace, then I still have an excuse. No, we're saved by grace. I used to have a sin nature. I have been born again. 1 Peter calls it an incorruptible seed. 1 John calls it the unction. James calls it the engrafted word. Romans says emphatically that sin, listen to me, I'm almost done. 6:14, sin shall not have power over you. Why? Because you have been born again. That means the first birth was kicked to the curb. The second birth is I've been born from above. The DNA of Jesus Christ abides in me. Just like Jesus Christ as a man overcame sin. Me as a man or as a woman of God, I have the power of God within me to overcome the world. I never have to cuss again. I never have to fornicate again. I never have to drink again. Why? Because I'm something special? No, because He's special in me. So if I fall tomorrow, Mackenzie, if Pastor Homer falls tomorrow and he leaves his wife and he runs off with another woman, tell the whole world, Mackenzie, no, Pastor Homer did it because he wanted to. Because no devil in hell has power over me and you. If the devil had power over me and you, he would kill us all right here, right now. His power is limited. The only power he has is the power we give him. I have been born again. I am of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. He overcame sin through a new spirit as he was raised from the dead. I have that same spirit that he has. The spirit of God lives in me. I'm a child of God. I'm royalty. My bloodline has changed. I have an inheritance. Sin cannot dominate me. I don't have to be sick. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no diabetes in heaven. There's no blindness in heaven. We're aliens from another world, from another country. We belong to a heavenly home. We have been born again. Your biggest enemy on the face of this earth is your emotions. That strong, strong feeling, those words that are loud as the immoral woman in the book of Proverbs. So what do? If you're thirsty, if you're thirsty and there's a well there, full of water. What do if you're thirsty and the well's there 5 feet? But what do? Go to it and what? No, you can't go to it and drink. You gotta go to it and draw out, and then you drink. I'd like to see you stick your big old neck down that well, Renee, and drink. Yeah, that'd be a heck of a trick. Listen to me. What do? You go to it, lower it down, get back up again. You draw out of the well. So what do when those thoughts come and those temptations come and your girlfriend looks extra pretty today or your boyfriend looks extra handsome that day, or you know what I'm talking about? What do when those emotions come, when those lusts come? What do? When I'm thirsty, I go to the well and I draw water out of the well to drink of the well to satisfy my thirst. So what do when that emotion comes that says I have to go this way? You draw God's word out of your well. You begin to speak to that temptation. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I won't give myself over to that. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm your child. Sin has no power over me. You take what's in you and you speak to that mountain, and I'm telling you, you'll overcome it. You got to speak to it. Father, in Jesus' name, I have been set free from lust. I have been set free from fornication. I've been set free from adultery. I don't have to drink no more. Why, Lord? Because I am born again. I do not have to give myself over to that emotion. I've been set free from sin's power, Jesus. You set me free. Satan, you have no power over me. And I will not give in to this. And you begin to speak the words of Jesus Christ to that emotion. You have to do it for a minute, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. When do you give up? So that emotion's gone. But you got to speak His word. Speak His word. That's why people give in the church. They give in to things because they want it to go away. I do too. I struggle with the things you struggle with. I'm just an ordinary man that knows the Bible a little bit more than you. I struggle with the things you struggle with. I got to turn my head sometimes. I got to slap myself. Why did you do that? I got to do that. But I can tell you this. I'm 90% healed of that junk. I won't break my neck no more. There's a day when I used to preach 10, 15 years ago where the people that I would preach to, I would think about young ladies. There's the day now has come that I can look at them eyeball to eyeball and see them as my sisters in Christ. That's why most men preach that they don't want ladies in pants in church. It's not nothing wrong with the ladies. As the preachers are so addicted to whatever that they can't take their eyes off of them. Emotions, I like what Pastor Bronk said. Our soul, our emotion is the child. Our spirit is the parent. You can overcome this stuff that you struggle with, friends. But you got to draw out of the well. You got to draw out of your spirit the Word of God that exists in you. Father, I thank you that I don't have to give myself to this. I thank you I don't have to walk in perversion. I don't have to walk in anger. I don't have to walk in strife. I choose today in the name of Jesus Christ to forgive my brother. I choose not to take an offense. I choose not to get mad, Father. You got to draw out of the well and speak God's word to that mountain in your life. And I promise you 99% of the time, you will come out on top. If you choose to. If you don't hear what I say tonight, you'll fail again tomorrow and the next day and the next day, even with the power of God living inside of you, man. We're called to live holy, sanctified lives in the eyes of our Savior. That's what separates the body of Christ now, the modern day church, to the church 2,000 years ago. We're still trying to live for a cause. They died for the cause, Alex. The modern day church is still trying to find its identity. The old church knew its identity and died for a cause. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be the same, Alex. I want to bring my God glory. But I can't bring Him glory lest I die to myself. The Word of God, the yes and the no abides in my heart, and it leads me and instructs me on how to live my life. Now, all this here and praying in tongues is just icing on the cake that renews my mind and transforms my soul and edifies my spirit. I have no schooling. There's nothing wrong with school. Assemblies of God, Pastor Bronx got a 4-year degree. Nothing wrong with that at all. But I got 66 books here. Of perfection that God has given me to deposit in my heart to change me. I got the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that brings a prayer language that guarantees me, according to 1 Corinthians 14, edification, exhortation, and comfort. We have been born again. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Emotions will come. And they'll come. And they'll come. And they'll come. If you give yourself up to the emotion, they'll come Tuesday. They'll come Wednesday. They'll come Thursday. When that emotion comes tonight, that little thing that calls that we give into a lot, speak to it in the name of Jesus. I see you, I feel you already, but in the name of Jesus, I speak to this mountain of anger. I speak to you. You have no power, you have no dominion over me. I've been set free by the blood of one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you speak to it, and you speak to it, and you speak to it, till when, till that emotion leaves, until another emotion comes and says, Alex, you won. There's got to be an action point, man. Two things live inside of you. The desire to say yes and the desire to say no. Obey Jesus inside of you. Love is not lifting up your hands during worship. Though we worship a lot here and we love to. Love is nothing more than obeying the word of God that lives inside of you. If God is love and he lives inside of me, every bit of instruction that comes out of my spirit is love. And as I obey that instruction, I'm saying, God, I feel this feeling coming toward me, but I feel you telling me to turn this way in this situation. I choose you, Jesus. That, my friends, is love. That is love. He's called me to get rid of my number one enemy. That's to get rid of myself. The negative emotion that tried to bombard my mind. He's given me his word. He's given me his son. He's given me his spirit. To grow in Christ. To deny myself daily. To take up my cross and to follow him. There's a place that the modern day church has not found. What desire to know him regardless of the cost. How else in this last minute will a man like Andrew preach being crucified for 3 days, preach in pain and agony lest there was a compassion that lived inside of him that we know nothing about? John was so old, it took him 75 years to write the book of 1 John, 5 chapters. It took him 75 years to write 5 chapters. He was so old at the end of his ministry, they would set him on a chair, according to the historians, set him on the chair in the midst of the church, and all he would do was say, love one another. Love one another. I always wanted to debate with people about how much I knew. Boy, was I wrong. The Bible says that by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Not if I debated more or preached louder or taught better. He said, if we want to win society, people, we got to learn how to walk in love. And walking in love is walking according to his instruction that lives inside of me and you. When we can walk according to that consistently, we know him in a completed sense. We have been born again. Our first birth came from our mother. Second birth came from our Heavenly Father. God's waiting for a few of us. He's waiting for a couple of us, even if it's 2, 3, to just say, Lord, I have no rights. I have no rights, Lord. I was created and born to serve you. I get tired of working sometimes. I'm in the secular world. My time's coming without being here. Probably be for 60% of less money. But he's looking for a few that will go out and that just won't say, Alex, that just won't say, Renee, let me tell you about Jesus. Though that is our heart cry. But he's waiting for a few of us that have died to self, that'll go out and see a little boy with AIDS, that religion and church has given no hope. He's looking for men and women, yes, men and women, both, to go to that little boy and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command this damnable infirmity to come off of him, and in Jesus' name it be gone. That's what he's looking for. And then you tell that little boy, you know who did that for you? Jesus. He's waiting for that man and woman to go to the prostitute on the south side of town that's strung out on crack. He's looking for a woman of God to go up to her and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of her. He's looking for that man and woman of God to go up to the homosexual that the church has condemned and talk about and say, let me tell you about the power of my God who loves you just the way you are. In the name of Jesus, come out. He's looking for the man and woman of God that walks into a funeral, Miss Alex, where a lady has lost her 12-year-old son. And a young lady walks in there dressed in white, in love, and in power. And everybody's weeping and crying. Alex goes up to that little boy or little girl that's dead. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say to you, come up. revive. That is what this church is about. John said, are you the one that's to come, or do we look for another? You tell John that the deaf hear, the blind see, the maimed are made whole, the deaf are raised, and the gospel is preached to the poor. We've left out 80% of that verse. Do you have those goods yet, Pastor Roman? Nope. No, I don't. Not yet. And I'll never have the goods, but he has them. I just got to believe that he can do it. That's the thing. See, I'm nobody. A little short, fat, chubby Mexican, that's all. All 180 pounds of me. 185? Okay, man, 216. That's what he's after. This isn't your normal church. We any better? Nah. But when I die, Miss Alex, I want to know that I stand before him. I want to know that I stand before him. I'm done for real. This last minute for real. Still early. You know, Paul said before he died in 2 Timothy, he said, I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. He said, I have finished the race. He said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day. Paul knew he was about to be martyred and killed. As he was beheaded by Nero in Rome. He said these words, listen to me, we're done. Listen to me, I beg you. He said, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've run this race, Alex, and I finished it. Death awaits me as Nero will behead me. But there's no fear in my life. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Oh, that our mindsets would change, man. That mind would change. That's what God's looking for. Champions. Like David. 20,000 men saw a giant 10 foot tall. One man, 5 foot three, didn't see a giant. He saw just another obstacle to overcome in the name of God. I heard a man say, I'd rather die at the feet of Goliath and not try to take his life at all. He said, I'd rather die being killed by him than not try at all. That's what he's looking for. Champions. And me and you, and champions in other churches that'll go out even if it costs their life. Even if it costs their life. People that love him more than their children, more than their spouse, more than sleep, more than food. Amen. Some of you will, some of you won't take it to the extreme. He don't love you any more or any less. But I don't want to be the same, Alex. I don't want to be the same. If I'm the same next year like I am today, I'd rather die. I'd rather die. If I got to stay with the same anger problems that I have now, a year from now, I'd rather die. My wife said I got good life insurance. My boys know what to do already. Tell my boys I got a life insurance policy to take care of my family. I tell my boys, and I'm done. Tell my boys if I die early, mama remarries, you know what to do. Yeah, Dad, we know we're going to take him out. There you go, boys. You know, I'm going to take my wife and my life insurance. My, no, it ain't going to happen in this lifetime. He's after you. We are his voice here on earth. We are his ambassadors. Knock, knock, Jesus isn't here anymore. He's in heaven, exalted to the right-hand side of the Father. We're here. We're here now. We're here. So soak these words in tonight. Ask the Lord, what would you have me do, Jesus? Pray in the Spirit as much as you can. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Read the Gospels. Read Luke 6. Read Luke 18. Read John 7 and 8. Read, read, read. Consume yourself with the Scripture, and you'll never be the same. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please.